Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise, and from afar.
So what we've been doing over the past few weeks is trying to get to know Christ better. And we started off by asking the purpose of our life, and the purpose of our life is to get to heaven, to know God, love God, serve God, so that we can be with Him in heaven. Then we went through what is called the private life of our Lord. It would be our Lord, His birth in Bethlehem, His parents, Mary and Joseph, His 30 years with Joseph and Mary in Nazareth. It's called the private life of Christ. And last week, we went through His public life, which lasted about 3 years, from 30 to 33. And remember, we spoke about three of the activities that he carried out in those 3 years. And they were, he preached a lot. He was a great teacher. We see that especially on what is called the Sermon on the Mount. We also talked about him doing exorcisms. We talked about an exorcism, right? When that man had a lot of devils within him. Remember, Jesus came and he cast the devils into the herd of swine, and they drowned. So we talked about that, seeing that Jesus had power over the devil. Then we talked about his miracles. And we said that the miracles he did were done especially to prove to the people he was God. Some of the people didn't believe. So he said, if you don't believe in my words, at least believe in my works. And we talked about different types of miracles. Can you mention any miracle that the Lord did?
Yeah. He was the son of
a widow who died, that's right. Anything else?
The wedding feast of Cana.
Wedding feast of Cana. What happened there?
He told the servants to fill the bottles with water and the wine.
Yeah. Right. And water and wine. Anything else?
Walked on water.
Walked on water, good. Walked on water. Anything more?
You mean 10,000 bread?
Okay, 10,000. Okay, he multiplied the loaves and the fish. There was a lot of people who didn't have any. Then he ate, and there was a boy who had 7 loaves and 2 fish, and he multiplied them so that the people were able to eat. Yeah. Remember when he was in the boat in the ship at night, and the apostles were kind of scared? Remember what happened? There was a storm on the sea. Jesus was asleep, and remember what happened? What did he do? And he calmed the storm. So those are miracles, miracles over nature and miracles over healing. And he did that to prove that he was truly God. So what we're trying to do this year is trying to make a bridge between you and Jesus so that Jesus become very real and you can talk to him. Okay? Jesus is God, but he's also man. And about 10 days ago, we celebrated the Feast of a Saint. Her name was Teresa of Avila. She said that one of the best ways to get to know Christ and to talk to him is by contemplating his humanity. Humanity means that Jesus was God, but he was also man. So he was like us in everything except one thing. And what would that be? He was like us in everything except one thing. He never sinned, or we sin. Jesus never committed any sin. So you see what we've done. We've gone from the Trinity to the private life of Christ to the public life of Christ. Now what we're going to do is we're going to be start to talk about different different names for Jesus, different titles. And before this class, I was thinking about how to introduce the topic. And this is a thought that occurred to me. Okay, you are you're a son, right? You have your grandparents, any one of them? Is your grand Okay. Any of you have any grandparents still living? Okay. So you're a son, you're a grandson. You're probably a brother. Probably have some siblings, right? Also, you're a teenager. Right? Also, you're a student. You look like an athlete. Probably play sports, no? Soccer. So. Just for you and for you, I've given him seven different titles, but it's the same person. So Jesus has a lot of different titles. A lot of different titles. One is he's the master. He's the savior. He's the redeemer. He said he's the bread of life. He is the Messiah. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But I thought we'd start off on, if you read through the Bible, the image that we have now is probably the most well-known image you have in the Bible, and the image is that of a shepherd. Tell me anything you know about what a shepherd might do.
He herds animals.
Okay, he herds animals. Good. Is the shepherd? Does a shepherd have any enemies?
Other animals that might try to hurt the animals he's herding.
Right. Okay. You said other animals. Okay. Well, a shepherd probably watches over sheep, right? Sheep would be one, and you have the flock would be the collective way of expressing it. There's some animals, but what would be the specific animal that is usually the dangerous enemy of the sheep? What do you think?
Wolf.
A wolf, yeah. Okay, is a sheep a highly intelligent animal? Do you think the sheep is one of the most intelligent animals that God created? What do you think? The other way around, a sheep is not that intelligent. The sheep doesn't have too much of a memory. Like a sheep wanders from the flock, he probably can't remember how to get back. Some sheep are, they're kind of heavy. They're kind of bulky. Some sheep, they're not really good fighters at all. What about a wolf? Is a wolf intelligent? Does a wolf run fast? Does a wolf have sharp teeth? Does a wolf know how to catch and kill? So you see, there's a real contrast, no? So you put a sheep alone with a wolf, it's like, it's like an ant against an elephant almost. I mean, there's no way that a sheep can defend himself. So Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, and we're the sheep of the flock. I think they're very interesting. Now, is there an enemy that goes after us? Maybe not a wolf, but who might go after us? What's that? The devil. Have you guys ever been tempted by the devil? I think you have. Did you ever have like bad thoughts or kind of negative thoughts that come going around in your mind? I think we all have, right? Well, okay, so God allows the devil to do this. The devil can't force us to do evil. In other words, he cannot coerce us, or he cannot violate our freedom. But what God allows, God allows the devil to play mind games with our imagination. You hear that? So God allows the devil to play around with our imagination. So the devil can come in and present in our mind bad images. Now, as soon as we have a bad image, it could be many things. As soon as we're aware of that bad image, we have to try to reject it. So until we die, we're all going to be tempted by having bad images in our imagination. So it's really up to us to recognize that that's part of life. And as soon as the thought comes in imagination, we have to call upon God and call upon Mary and say, help me. So once we call upon Jesus and Mary to help, then they'll help us to reject that bad image. And whether you like it or not, that's part of living. And I've done a lot of reading in my life, and even those who are called the desert fathers, you know, like St. Anthony and St. Basil and St. Pachomius, they're called the desert fathers. They've gone out to the desert, and the devil still tempts them there, even in the desert. You think you go out to the desert, you're free of any temptation, but it's not the case. So what I'm trying to say is this, is that we have wolves that are surrounding us. These invisible wolves that are surrounding us. It's called the devil. And the key for us to win the battle is we have to stay close to the Good Shepherd. When the sheep wander from the Good Shepherd, the wolf is going to come in, and it's over. So if we stay close to the Good Shepherd by praying, in going to Mass, saying your rosary, you know, making your confession, you know, maybe at least once a month, saying your night prayers, trying to follow good advice, trying to obey your parents even though sometimes you don't feel like it, studying hard maybe when you don't really feel like it either, no? You try to keep to what's called the narrow path. This is called the narrow path. Then we can make it. But if we wander away from the Good Shepherd, the wolf is going to come. Got that? So I'm not being negative. I'm just trying to be very realistic. Is that there's a lot of dangers out there. But if we stay close to God, we're going to win the battle. You got that? And the greatest shield is this. If you go to Mass and receive Holy Communion with a lot of love, you get a powerful shield of protection. You guys are going to Mass on Sunday, right? Okay. Well, if not, See, some of you bowing your heads, no? Make sure you get back to Mass on Sunday, okay, all of you. If you haven't been to confession, go as soon as possible. Get back next to the Good Shepherd. You got that? Okay. Never too late. Okay, so that's kind of a long introduction to a beautiful topic, to really get to know Jesus now as a Good Shepherd. Okay, so let's pick up our worksheet. You got your pencil. One of the most common images in all the Bible, both Old Testament and New, is that of the shepherd. Even though most of us have not been brought up and raised on a farm, we all know basically that the shepherd is about what a shepherd is about and what a shepherd is about and does for his living. Shepherd, sheep. Common sense tells us that the shepherd tends the sheep of his flock. The flock might be big, small, or a medium size. In any case, the shepherd is responsible for his sheep, all in one. The shepherd has a double responsibility. First, the shepherd must watch over, guide, protect, and at times defend the whole of his flock from dangers. However, the responsibility of the shepherd also is to watch over each and every one of his sheep individually. If you like, he calls each by name. In other words, the whole flock is important, but also each sheep individually. And me, the flock, and each sheep. Of all the animal that threatens most seriously the welfare of the flock and individual sheep is that of the wolf. The wolf compared to the sheep. Both are very different in many ways. Starting with the sheep, this animal is very weak and in many ways. The sheep is not strong, does not have sharp claws for defense. Still more, the sheep do not have very much of a memory. That is to say, if the sheep wanders from the flock, there is a good chance that the sheep does not know how to get back to the flock and the safety of the rod of the shepherd. Do you guys ever watch National Geographic on TV? And National Geographic got some pretty good documentaries on animals. Years ago, I was watching a documentary of this buffalo that was running in the desert. And he's running really fast. You know what a buffalo is, right? It's a really big, strong, heavy, muscular animal. And it was galloping in the desert. And all of a sudden, about 500 yards away, you saw this, it looked like a little speck of something was drawing closer, and it was a wolf. And as the buffalo galloped along, picking up dirt, and, you know, it makes a lot of noise, the wolf was drawn closer and closer, but without the buffalo aware of it. So it was no longer 400, but 300 yards, then 200, then 100. And the buffalo was just rushing ahead, and the wolf was gaining ground. The wolf arrived at about 50 yards, and then was 30, 20, 10. And the buffalo was running, kicking up dirt, galloping along, with his hoofs making a lot of noise. And the wolf arrived at about 10 feet away, almost on the heel. Then it was 5 feet, then it was 3 feet, and then the wolf jumped in the air and he bit at the back foot of the buffalo, and the buffalo collapsed. Then within about three minutes, there was a pack of wolves that surrounded the buffalo One of them bit at the buffalo, then another, then another, then another, then the whole pack was with their sharp teeth biting into the buffalo, and within 10 minutes you only had the bones of the buffalo left. But what a documentary. The buffalo is 100 times stronger than a wolf, but the wolf is much more intelligent. And the wolf knows how to work in a team. It's called a pack of wolves. So part of our obligation is, as sheep of the Good Shepherd, to get to know some of the wolves that might be going after us. What are some of the wolves that might be going after us? Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's pornography. That's a big wolf. It's one of the biggest today. Maybe it's drinking. These are wolves. I was listening on the radio just a few minutes ago, and they mentioned the millions of dollars that Americans spend in gambling. We even have a casino here, don't we? Gambling. That might be the wolf of a crew, or maybe a gang. It could be a wolf, right? They work together like a pack, no? They work together, no? To steal, to rob, to knife, no? You just think wolves out there in the desert, you know, running after buffaloes. There's a lot of wolves in Los Angeles, a lot of wolves in Hawaiian Gardens. Maybe there's a wolf in your house. I hope not. But the first thing you have to be aware that the wolves are out there. We're not aware, we're lost. Once you're aware of the wolves that are surrounding us, we can ask the Good Shepherd to help us out. He's stronger than the wolves. Got that? Okay, the wolf. Are you there? On the other hand, the wolf is a very intelligent animal. We might call him tricky, astute, crafty, and to a certain extent mean. Furthermore, even though the wolf is not a big animal, he is very fast, has sharp teeth, and goes for the kill. To make things worse, many wolves travel in packs. That means they have good teamwork. Good teamwork skills. Often it's not so much maybe the best soccer team, but the guys that know how to work well together on the team. Look at the way the Red Sox play, man. Like it or not, they're a good team, aren't they? No. You Dodgers fans, you don't like it, but I mean, Red Sox, probably one of the best baseball teams in the past 15 years, no? And they really work well together as a team. In defense, and hitting, and pitching, and stealing bases, and man. So part of our work is that we have to learn how to work well with Christ. He's our team leader, right? He's our manager. So often they surround their prey and attack as a team. Hard to escape such a vicious and intelligent team tactic. Okay, let's start to fill in some of the questions. Application to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and we the sheep of his flock. Questions to respond to the image of the shepherd and sheep. Who is the Good Shepherd for us? Response is simple. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and we are the sheep of his flock. This he can read and meditate upon in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Okay, last week did we mention how many Gospels there were? Did we mention that? Remember how many Gospels there are? Four. Okay, what are the four Gospels? I think you mentioned them. Okay, so they're Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we want to get to know the life of Christ. Reading the Gospels is one of the best ways. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got that? Okay. What are the qualities of Jesus the Good Shepherd? Okay, there are many. And we should seriously pray over these qualities and take them to heart in our lives and their relationship to Jesus. Okay, number three is, Jesus He watches over us. Write that in there. Jesus watches over us. This means that Jesus is constantly thinking about us. He has us in mind. His eyes never go to sleep, but are constantly fixed on us at all time, places, and circumstances. Next is this. Jesus, He knows us by name. He knows us by name. For Jesus, we are not impersonal. Like a cog in a wheel. Or a grain of sand on the seashore, or a fluttering leaf blown by the wind. Rather, Jesus knows each and every one of us by name. We are all very important for Jesus. And then Jesus, number five, Jesus, He calls us by name. He calls us by name. So Jesus actually calls us, but it's up to us to attune our ears so as to listen to His voice. A question. How might Jesus speak to you or call you? So right down below number five, there's a little space. He might speak to us through, write this, the Bible, through our parents, through the Holy Spirit, through our conscience, so those are all different ways that Jesus speaks to us through the Bible. That's the Word of God. Our parents, speak to us to tell us to do something. God is actually speaking through our parents. That's the fourth commandment. Sometimes we don't like that commandment, but it is one of the ten. Through the Holy Spirit and through our conscience. So if you do something good, your conscience experiences peace. When you do something that's wrong, then you feel bad. That's God working on us. Okay, number six is Jesus protects you. Write that in there. Jesus protects you. The Good Shepherd has a staff in His hand. And not just to walk and to avoid stumbling, but also to ward off the enemy, who is the wolf. If you see an image of the Good Shepherd, He's got that stick, they call the staff. You might just think, oh, He's going to be able to walk, and guess there's some ditches or pitfalls or Okay, but also he uses it because if the wolf comes, he's able to use that staff to push the wolf away. So to defend us, to protect us. Okay, number 7. Jesus, right in there, he defends you. He defends you. When the wolf is on the prowl and getting close for a frontal attack, then Jesus, the Good Shepherd, blocks the path with his rod and staff, preventing the wolf from harming you. Okay, number 8 then. Jesus feeds you. Feeds you. Okay, what is the way now? How is he going to feed us? A shepherd must feed his sheep with abundant and healthy grazing grass. As good shepherd of your soul, Jesus the Good Shepherd feeds you most especially in two ways. With his word, the Bible truth, and with the Eucharist, which is Holy Communion, the bread of life. I want you to write below the bread of life. I want you to write a bit of a space there. Write John 6 and write down bread of life discourse. Bread of life discourse. This is what Jesus says. It's one of his greatest sermons. We were listening to this gospel actually 5 weeks in a row in the summer. He says this, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up on the last day. Your forefathers ate the manna in the time of Moses, but they died. But whoever eats this bread that I will give will have eternal life. Now, if you guys want to make it to heaven with a good shepherd, if you can do 3 things in your life, but faithful to the end, there's a pretty good chance you're going to make it to heaven. We want to be with a good shepherd in heaven. First, every month, you have to try to make a good confession until you die. At least every month. Prepare yourself well. Make a good confession. Every month, okay, you're really going to be in peace with God. Second, every week you have to receive Holy Communion. So never allow a week to go by in which you're not receiving Holy Communion. Then every day, I know it's hard, you have to find time to pray. And especially, you want to try to pray the rosary every day. So it's really not, I mean, mathematically, it's really not that much. Once a month, confession. It'll take 5 minutes. It takes longer to prepare. Okay, you got to prepare yourself, right? But then once a week, okay, an hour, you go to Mass and receive communion. And once a day, it's the rosary, it's 15 minutes. So it's really not that much, is it? You have to do it well, not just mechanically, really try to make a good confession, do it well. And when you receive communion, try to make sure you receive our Lord with a lot of faith, devotion, and love. On a daily basis, get that rosary in. If you do, you know, the Lord is going to be your good shepherd also in heaven. While on earth, we can lose him. We can be that wandering wolf that wandering sheep that can be attacked by the wolf. That can happen. So while we're living, and we can wander away, but we want to die, we want to be with the good shepherd in heaven, right? Okay, so let's move back. So Jesus feeds you. And number 9, Jesus, he brings you back. He brings you back. I didn't have enough time to do it today, but yesterday I actually brought in a portrait of one of the parables. It's the parable of the 100 sheep. And you had this one sheep that wandered off. And the picture shows the shepherd that's going after the sheep. And you look up in the sky, you see this big bird. What if that bird's name would be? You know? When there's an animal that's dying or someone that's dying, what type of bird is usually on the prey?
Vulture.
What's that? A vulture. So you see this huge vulture that is up in the sky, and you see the sheep that's fallen off the cliff into a hole. And you see the vulture is about to descend to eat that sheep. Then you see Jesus, the good shepherd, who's looking down at the sheep, and the sheep is in this little hole. Jesus is looking at the sheep, and the sheep is looking at Jesus. That's one of the parables. Now, that might be, you might call, a snapshot. How can you turn that into a YouTube? The difference, isn't it? Snapshot? YouTube? Snapshot, like a little one little snap. YouTube got a little movie. How would you finish it? I'll tell you. Jesus is going to bend over. He's going to take that wandering sheep that's in the hole. He's going to place that sheep on his shoulders. And the sheep has maybe been there for maybe 2 nights, so he's hungry and he's cold. He's going to place the sheep on his shoulders, and he's going to walk about 1.5 miles back to the rest of the flock. When he first finds the sheep is really cold. By the time that he gets back to the flock, the sheep is going to be warm again. Where did the warmth come? From the heart of the good shepherd. And very gently, he's going to place him back with the rest of the flock. That's called the parable of the 100 sheep. One was lost, and the good shepherd leaves the other 99, and he goes out searching for the one lost sheep. Now, what Jesus is saying is this. He's concerned about the 7 billion people in the world. He is. He knows where all of them are. He knows what they're thinking about. Jesus knows everyone. Every one of the 7 billion people he knows very well. But also Jesus, he loves all of us individually, as if you were the only person in the world. It's incredible, isn't it? You hear that? So even though there's a lot of people out there, all of us are very important for Jesus individually. All of you have a lot of worth. And I'll prove it. You're so important that Jesus shed his blood for you on the cross. As if you were the only person in the world. That's powerful, isn't it? So you have the whole flock. But then he has the individual sheep. Jesus loves the whole flock, but he loves all individually. I've often thought, I'm not a shepherd. I've often thought, if I had 100 sheep, I lost one, let them go. Who cares? I mean, I still got 99. But I'm not, that's what I would think. At 99, you lose one, big deal. I still got 99. That's not the way Jesus thinks. Go after the one that's lost and bring him back to the other 99 so you still have the 100. Okay? He cares for all individually. When he wanders, when we wander away, he wants to bring us back. And often that's through our conscience, and your conscience bothers you. God works on us through a conscience, like an intranquil conscience. Okay, are you ready? You're ready, right? Good. Okay, so he feeds you. Jesus brings you back. Like a good shepherd traces down the lost sheep and brings the sheep back on his shoulders and rejoices. Jesus welcomes us back when we wander into sin after we have made a good sacramental confession to the priest who represents Jesus, the good shepherd. So, you're forgiven. You can't just say, I confess directly to God. You have to confess through the priest. Priest is like the bridge between heaven and earth, okay? Like a bridge. So, number 10, Jesus, what would that be? Heals. He heals the wounds. The shepherd heals the wounds of the wandering and hurt sheep. Jesus does the same once again through the healing grace of the sacrament of confession. So, say for example, okay, this is your soul. You know, you commit a sin, you know, there's a wound there. Commit a sin, there's a wound there. Commit another sin, there's a wound there. So once you go to confession, what happens is Jesus, through his precious blood, washes those wounds away, and he gives you his healing grace. It's invisible. You're not going to see it. It's invisible, but it's real. You know, the invisible world is just as real as the physical world. I mean, you guys have thoughts, right? They're invisible. You're breathing, that's invisible. You have a guardian angel. All of you have a guardian angel. You can't see him, but he's there. You're looking to see if he's there. He's invisible, but your guardian angel is there right next to you, trying to help you to pay attention so you can learn more about God. That's the work of the guardian angel. You've got to pray more to your guardian angel. Okay, number 11. Jesus, of all the qualities, this is the most important. Jesus loves the sheep. He loves the sheep. So the most important quality of the good shepherd is that he truly loves his flock and loves each one of the sheep individually. His love is permanent and never changes. Okay, look at those sins and vices. So behind those sins and vices, it's the wolf. It's the devil. Drinking. Sexual immorality. Pornography, drugs, gang activity, abortion, gambling. Do any of you know what an abortion is? You ever hear the word abortion? Do you know what an abortion is? What is that? You're going to say the same thing? Yeah. Is that wrong? Is it against the commandments? Which commandment? Thou shalt not kill. You know what number that is? That's the fifth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. The other day I saw a film, Gosnell. Powerful film. Did any of your parents go to see the film called Gosnell? What did your mom say? Did you go with her?
Yes.
What did you think? Powerful, right? You know what it is? There was a Philadelphia doctor that was responsible for many, many abortions. No? And finally they nailed the guy just a couple of years ago, and he's got a life sentence, no? For killing all these innocent babies, no? Yeah. Powerful film, no? I think it maybe turned a lot of people away from abortion to really respect life, no? One of the scenes that really hit me had that black girl that was waiting there. She looked like she was already 9 months pregnant. Remember that scene? They showed it for about a minute, and he was going to come in and abort the baby, even though the baby was 9 months pregnant. Another one hit me is he got these technicians, he's giving anesthesia. How long were you trained? Just 20 minutes. No, these teenage girls that are trained to do abortions, only about 20 minutes. No, powerful film. You might ask your parents, it's probably no longer there at Edward Theater, but if it comes out in DVD, you might want to see it. It's called Gosnell, okay? I've been praying for his conversion. Maybe one day I'll be converted, you know? I mean, it's possible that even hardened sinners can be converted. You know? Okay, so where are we? What number? Is it number 12? Modern wolves. What might be some of the modern wolves in the present society that are on the prowl to surround, attack, kill, and devour? Sin and vices are the modern wolves, and there are, just write down, many. There are many. Many. Prayer to the Good Shepherd. Is there prayer that we might pray to establish a deeper relationship and friendship with Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd of our souls? Yes. Most likely, this is the most famous psalm or prayer of the Old Testament in the whole Bible. It's prayed by Catholics. It's prayed by Protestants. It's prayed by the Orthodox. It's even prayed by Jewish people. It is the Psalm of... Do you know what it is? The Psalm of what? Do you know? It's the Psalm of the Good Shepherd, the Buen Pastor. Never heard that psalm? The Psalm of the Good Shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Even though I walk through dark valleys, I fear no evil. You are there with your rod and your staff. No. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I believe that I'll be in the house of the Lord for years to come. Psalm 23. You might even read that tonight. You have a Bible at home? Psalm 23. So that is, what psalm is this? It is Psalm 23. Psalm 23. So let's say that prayer together. You see it there? In capital letters? The Lord is my shepherd. Let's say that two more times.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Once again. You know, we had a priest, Father Tim Gallagher, who came here a few years ago. He was giving a talk, and he said, when you feel sad at times, go in your room or maybe in front of the Blessed Sacrament, open up your Bible and read Psalm 23. You feel you're kind of alone. Maybe people don't really understand you. You've had a tough day. Maybe you got a headache. Maybe you didn't get a good grade. Maybe you lost a soccer game. I mean, we all have tough days, right? Just open up your Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. He leads me beside restful waters, and he gives rest to my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. And that gives a lot of peace. He says, I'm going to try to remember Psalm 23. And hopefully, you'll be able to, it's not too long, maybe even memorize it. You read through it three or four times, five times, you have it memorized, and you can even say it by memory. Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. El Señor es mi pastor, nada me puede faltar. I prefer the Spanish, okay? Okay, we have arrived at number 15. Finally, where does Jesus refer to himself as a good shepherd? In the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Jesus applies Psalm 23 to himself when he says, you know, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. We should get into the habit of talking often to Jesus and recognize his love and care for me, so much so that he laid down his life for me. How great is the love that Jesus has for you and for me. So let's say a Hail Mary, the Blessed Mother, the Mother of the Good Shepherd, that in these classes, Jesus will become more and more alive to us. He'll become more and more real to us. And then we'll get in the habit, maybe before we go to bed, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, talk to Jesus as your best friend in your own words. So let's say the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. God bless us, and Son. I think there's an important announcement about a retreat, right?
Okay. And thou hast broke my heart and mind. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.